Hey, good morning. It should be Saturday morning, but some of you may be listening on Friday night. This is the John Gibson Saturday Morning Author Interview. Okay, so look, I try to do these as often as I can. I got very lucky today. I have an interview with Mark Greene. He started publishing in 2009. He's got a series called The Gray Man, and a whole series of Gray Man novels. The eighth and most recent is called Mission Critical. Mark Greene does about two of these a year. It's just amazing how fast he turns them out. The Gray Man series has continuously drawn comparison to people like Brad Thor and Dan Silva and, of course, Tom Clancy. Now, the thing about Clancy is that Mark Greene co-wrote Clancy's final three Jack Ryan novels before Clancy died, and then Greene carried on the Jack Ryan franchise, if you will, for another four. He's now out with a new book. It just came out 2 weeks ago, called Red Metal. And I pronounce that way so it's not confused with metal. We're talking about the substance like steel, metal, red metal. And this is a book he co-wrote with Lieutenant Colonel H. Ripley Rawlings IV, known as Rip Rawlings. And Mark Greene is just a tremendously prolific author. I mean, really cranking out a lot of these books, and they're very good. They're a high quality. And so this new book is Red Metal. Now, this is a novel. It's a prospective novel in which he and Rip Rawlings imagine what it would take or what would happen or how it would happen that World War III begins with the West against the Russians. So I talked to Mark Greene and started this way.
I always ask authors to tell me something so I don't reveal things that the author would rather the reader discovered on his own. So how would you describe Red Metal for me?
Oh, I appreciate that. Most people don't go that route. it's a large sweeping military thriller involving a Russian attack on NATO forces and a simultaneous Russian attack into Africa with the mission of securing a very valuable rare earth metal mine in Kenya. So we did a lot of research about NATO's structure and forces and just sort of how powerful they are right now and how ready they are for something like this. And, it's a sweeping book in that it has a lot of different countries involved, definitely sort of American centric at its core, but there's Polish characters and French and German and certainly a lot of Russian characters. It is anyone who's read the novel Red Storm Rising in the 80s, the really famous Tom Clancy novel. Rip and I, when we met, we sort of bonded over talking about that novel, and it turned into us sort of writing an updated version of a Russian attack.
What is your own military background?
None whatsoever, honestly. I tried to get into Air Force OCS right after college and didn't get in, and then I had a leg injury before 9/11 and wasn't able to get in after 9/11. And I tried again, but I Tom Clancy didn't have military experience. I started writing sort of espionage novels but I'd always been really fascinated with big military thrillers. So it had always been like a life goal of mine to try and do one myself. And when I was working with Tom Clancy, there would be elements of that in books. I mean, there would be sort of big military encounters, but never sort of a book centered around a war. And it had always been something that, I enjoyed reading. So I just, I hooked up with the right guy and we took it from there.
Let me back up from Red Metal a little bit and ask about your working with Tom Clancy. Why did he bring you in?
I put a couple books out in my own series, paperbacks, they didn't, you know, they did fine. I was happy with how things were going. The first one had sold to Hollywood, and Tom had used a co-author on a previous book, and he was looking for a new co-author. And my editor and Tom's editor is the same guy, Tom Colgan. And Tom Colgan thought of me, and I never really have gotten a straight answer why. He knew I was a huge Tom Clancy fan, so that was part of it. But my stuff was pretty different from a Clancy novel. But you know, he asked me if I was interested, and I literally tried out for it, wrote 25 pages just to show them that I knew the Tom Clancy, you know, series backwards and forward. I'd read every book, you know, when it came out since the mid 80s. So that's how it started.
Well, that's a pretty leg up for a writer, isn't it?
Oh my gosh, yeah, it was stunning when I was offered, and I always say I wish that I could remember being how excited I was, but I remember just being terrified and thinking, wow, this is such a, you know, that's such a daunting thing. I mean, it's like, why am I with Tom Clancy as the first person I'm co-authoring with? You know, aren't you supposed to work your way up from that? But you know, once I got the opportunity, I worked really hard, and unfortunately he passed away after we did our third book, and the family asked me to continue his Jack Ryan series. So I did four more after that. And I remember when they asked me, at that point, I had the confidence to know I was the right guy for the job.
Once again, I'll get back to Red Metal in just a second, but I wanted to go over not only your Clancy experience, but the Gray Man series. What is it about Jack Ryan that seems to be such an enduring character, whether you're writing it or Tom Clancy is?
That's a great question. I mean, he's sort of America's James Bond, and I don't mean just in his popularity, but in the fact that he's an American. He's very sort of uniquely American character. You know, sort of brought up on, you know, made his own fortune. You know, the backstory to the Jack Ryan is just very well drawn from a writer's perspective. And there's a lot of family involved. Obviously, there's the physical stuff that happens, but at his core, he's an analyst and a historian. And I think a lot of people think that's very fascinating. You know, he gets himself in over his head, and that becomes a, you know, what pushes the plots along. But I mean, the Jack Ryan novels, starting with Red October 1984, I believe it was, and going up to the present day, I'm no longer writing them, but a guy named Mark Cameron and another guy named Mike Madden are both working on them now. You know, it's just really enduring, and it's nice to see he's not overly macho, he doesn't have superpowers, but you know, it puts the reader in these very realistic scenarios of things that can happen in this day.
In the movies, who's been the better Jack Ryan, in your opinion?
You know, I mean, Harrison Ford, but that might just be because that was sort of the age where, I was, you know, around when Alec Baldwin did it. And Red October, I think, is the best of the Clancy films. But I sort of picture Harrison Ford when I think of Jack Ryan. And in the books I wrote, Jack Ryan was in his 60s and president of the United States. So I was looking at him a little bit more, Harrison Ford, who wasn't in his 60s then, but, you know, I guess was when I was writing the books.
Let me go back to the Gray Man. That was a very successful series for you. Do you still make Gray Man novels?
I do. The ninth book in the series is due right now, really. I mean, I'm going to try and have it wrapped up this weekend. It's called 1 Minute Out, and it'll be out next February. But yeah, there's been eight out so far.
Well, okay. So now that brings me back to Red Metal, which is a new book. It's supposed to be out July. Well, it was released July 16th. Is that right?
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you have a lot of balls in the air. You got Gray Man. You had Clancy. Now you have this Red Metal with Rip Rawlings, and it almost seems confusing how much stuff you're putting out.
Yeah, I've done two books a year every year since I was first published in 09, and you know, I joke that I didn't get published till I was 42 years old, so I'm trying to make up for lost time. My 18th book just came out in 10 years, and it's you know, it's a schedule that you can't continue on for too much longer. I see how much it gets harder each year. People would think it would get easier to write, but you know, as you tell the stories, you know, and you go out and you pull new stories out and do that, after a while, you have to be really careful you're not treading over the same ground. So that slows you down a little bit. So I'm probably going to switch to a one a year type series, or a situation where probably a gray man 1 year and then maybe do something else the next year, or do a couple of gray man. I'm not really sure, but two books a year. And my books are long. They're Red Metal's over 200,000 words. The Clancy books were close to 200, and the gray man's are 150 or something like that. So it's a lot of work for sure.
All right. So the Red Metal is about the Russians attacking. And there's a lot of thought about this, especially as it has to do with the Baltic states. So, you know, tell me your scenario.
Well, what we talk about is the assumption that the West has in general that Russia can't attack without us knowing about it for a really, really long time. It's called strategic surprise. And they say Russia cannot achieve strategic surprise, meaning our satellites and our spies and whatnot would see a buildup of, you know, armaments and fuel and staging and all these things for I think the general consensus is we would know 2 years in advance if Russia was trying a full scale invasion. But in our novel, they do something called an operational raid, which is a very limited strike under the guise of sort of a training exercise over Christmas in Belarus. And that's how they get around strategic surprise. It's a very limited scope attack for a couple of reasons, which you sort of have to read the book to understand, while simultaneously they're moving forces down towards Africa. And, you know, an invasion of the Baltic states, I mean, I've spent time in Vilnius and in Lithuania and in Estonia, and, you know, I think it's like 18 miles or 30 miles or something like that from the capital of Lithuania, from the Belarusian border, which is, you know, effectively controlled by Russia. So it's very precarious for everyone over there. And you feel that in the air when you're there. Our story is more of an invasion straight through Poland towards Germany.
Why exactly? I mean, you've written so many novels, you've written so many books, your military expertise is established with the Clancy novels, if nothing else. Why did you need Lieutenant Colonel Rip Rawlings?
Yeah, well, I think we both made the book. Neither of us could have done the book alone. I met him when I was working on a Clancy novel back in 2014 at the Pentagon. He was a strategic planner at the Pentagon for the Marine Corps. And we just became really good buddies, and he wanted to be a writer. So he was, you know, peppering me with questions, but at the same time, I would pepper him with questions about military stuff, and we'd go out to dinner and have beers. And he got stationed out at Camp Pendleton in California. And I went out there, I was doing some work with the Fifth Fleet, doing research on another Clancy book in San Diego. And so I spent a lot of time with him there, and pretty quickly we started talking about what if, and it all sort of centered around Red Storm Rising. Like, what would a modern version be, and how would it be harder for Russia to invade? How would it be, you know, how is the U.S. weaker now than it was in the mid-80s and things like that? So, you know, all the fodder for the book came between us, all this back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And when it was time to, you know, where I said, you know, I could actually write a book with this guy, and I know I can go out and get us a book deal. I just, you know, I told him, I said, you know, Rip, if we do this, I'm going to be tough on you because I've written a bunch of these books and, you know, you haven't, you know, all your stuff. I said, you know, you just have to tell me that you're going to be able to handle it when I'm tough on you. And he just kind of looked at me for a minute. He goes, Mark, I've been to war. And I was like, all right, I think I'll back off. I guess you're going to be fine. And he was totally fine. So it was a really great collaboration.
That's funny. Do you have to get in Putin's head for this book?
A little bit. Yeah, we have a different name for the character, but it's not going to fool anybody of who we're talking about. It's important. We wanted there to be multiple reasons and realistic reasons for the Russians to decide to do this. And one of them, which I don't think is that far-fetched, is the Russian president sees his personal fortunes as well as his political fortunes at stake if he doesn't go and secure this rare earth mineral mine that Russia did have control of fictionally in the early parts of the story. They lose it to the West. And he decides that if he's going to stay in power and his he's going to keep his oligarchs happy. He has to go secure this. So you do spend some time in the Russian president's head, as well as the people that orchestrate the invasion, Operation Red Metal. Their motivations are all different. I didn't want it to be a cookie cutter white hat versus black hat and all the Russians are evil. You know, I want to show how something like this could actually happen with the psychology of the people involved.
There's something else I got to ask you about, and that is your writing routine. I mean, you're turning out two books a year for, you know, quite a while, and you're doing a lot of research. So how does research, you know, going investigating, let's say, for a Clancy novel, what the Navy's up to, fit in with a writing routine that involves two books a year? I mean, I know that's not easy.
It is not easy. I love to write. I love it less when I get closer to deadline, to be perfectly frank, which I guess wouldn't surprise anybody, because it is more stressful. But I did with Red Metal. Rip and I went to Poland and to France and to Germany. We went out to Nellis Air Force Base and met with the A-10 Fighter Weapons School. He went up and got on the USS John Warner, a fast attack sub. And we did all this research together. Simultaneously, we're writing and we're sending each other pages and chapters and assigning each other stuff to look at in one another's work and coalescing it. So, you know, there's a period where there's more research going on, and there's a period where there's more plotting going on, and there's a period where there's more writing going on. But I pretty much write 7 days a week to one degree or another.
What did you do before you were 42 and started writing?
I've always worked, or not, I've often worked in sort of international sales and marketing. So I worked for a company called Medtronic, a medical device company here in Memphis where I live. And I was fantasizing about being a writer. I was writing and not really finishing things for a long time. I think it took me 15 years to finish my first book. And then I wrote my second book in 7 months, because once you finish a book, you realize it's not, you know, it's like how much did I actually work and how much did I just sit there and, you know, whine about it? And once you're able to do it, you can replicate it.
Well, what's your daily routine?
I'm a morning writer, so I usually write first thing in the morning. I do travel a lot for work, so that throws a wrench into the works. But, you know, I keep a spreadsheet where I try and get a word count of the day, and that word, people say, well, what's your word count? It's like, well, at the beginning of the project, it's, you know, 1,000 words a day. But by the end of the project, I've missed enough of those 1,000 word days to where it's 3,000 words towards the end. So it does morph over time, but it does give you sort of something to work at. You have to do this in bite-sized chunks. I mean, a book is, you know, Red Metal is 650 pages long, and you can't just look at that every morning and say, how much do I have left? What you have to do is you have to look and say, oh, today I'm going to write the scene where the plane lands on the highway or something like that, and just take it like that.
On your bedside table, what are the books stacked up?
Well, right now I have a bunch of nonfiction for research for a book I'm doing now. But also Jason Matthews, who wrote Red Sparrow, which was an okay movie, but just a magnificent book. And it's a trilogy, and I've read the second one, and I haven't read the third one, The Kremlin Candidate. And I have that on my, that's the next one I'm going to read for pleasure. I do read a lot of books for blurb, so it's a book that won't come out for a year, year and a half or something like that. So I do have a couple of those stacked up as well.
What does your library look like?
I'm looking at it right now. I'm sitting in my office. It's crammed full of things. I have a bunch of first edition Tom Clancy novels, not because I went out and bought first editions, but because either my father gave them to me when they came out at Christmas, or I would give it to my father and I've inherited them. So I have the every one of the Clancy books, and I think all but about three, which I had to replace because I've lost, are there. And then I have a bunch of history, military, and espionage. And then I have just tons and tons and tons of nonfiction that I've absorbed while researching each book, as well as current, you know, thriller authors who are friends of mine.
How much research is done in person, and how much is done by reading?
I would say most done by reading. I do try and do location research for all my books. There's been a couple of times I had to have some surgery on my ankle, and I had a trip planned to Vietnam and Thailand and Cambodia, and I was going to do some diving, and I was super excited about it, and that whole thing got canceled, and I wrote that book from my couch with my leg elevated, and the book turned out good. So, you know, it's possible if you do enough reading research, but for my next Gray Man book, which comes out in February, I just got back from Bosnia and Italy and Croatia and did research out there for a while. And it really does, you know, seeing the atmospherics of these places that, you know, you don't know that much about really does help you, you know, with your story.
I'm sure it does. I've been speaking with Mark Greeny, who is the author of the Gray Man series of thrillers, as well as a whole stack of Tom Clancy books while Clancy was alive and then after he passed. And his new book, written with Marine Colonel, Lieutenant Colonel H. Ripley Rawlings IV, it's called Red Metal, which is about a Russian attack on the West and an attack in Africa to secure a mine. Mark, it's really a pleasure to talk to you. I appreciate you taking the time, and we'll post this up, and I hope that Red Metal does really well for you.
Thank you so much, John. I enjoyed it.
Thanks. Thank you again. It's always fascinating to talk to somebody as successful as you are at churning out books, and you certainly have churned them out.
I appreciate that.
All right, Mark Greeny, thanks a lot.
You bet.
Yeah. So that has been the John Gibson Saturday Morning Author interview with Mark Greeny. His new book, Red Metal, is out right now. I urge you to go to Amazon and order it. And this is, of course, the free podcast for Saturday morning. I urge you to go get the podcast. That requires a subscription at johngibson.com. It's $3.50 a month. Not going to kill you. I can promise you it's priced cheap. So check out the podcast at johngibson.com and be a subscriber. And thanks. And I got another one of these interviews on Saturday morning coming up next week. So be sure to check that one out next Saturday morning, August, what will it be? 17th. Yes. Till then, check out the podcast and the Morning Digestion all week.